Good morning. My name is Matt, and I'll be your conference operator today. At this time, I'd like to welcome everyone to Vesta's first quarter 2019 earnings conference call. All participants are currently in a listen-only mode. As a reminder, today's conference is being recorded. I'd like to turn the call over to your host, Ms. Christiane Banyas, Vesta's Investor Relations Officer. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you for joining our call to discuss Vesta's financial results for the first quarter of 2019. With us today from Vesta are Lorenzo Berho, Chief Executive Officer, and Juan Sottil, Chief Financial Officer. Following their prepared remarks, there will be a question and answer session, during which time we will answer your questions. Yesterday, we issued our earnings press release after market close. This release is also available via the investor section of Vesta's IR website. Before turning the call over to management, I'd like to remind you that this conference call includes forward-looking statements based on currently available information. Forward-looking statements inherently involve risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those predicted in such forward-looking statements. Statements made on this conference call should be considered together with cautionary statements and other information contained within the company's earnings release dated April 25th, 2019, and within the most recent regulatory filings for a discussion of those risks. All figures included herein were prepared in accordance with IFRS and are stated in nominal US dollars unless otherwise noted. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Berho. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Christiane, and thank you all of you for being part of this conference today. After a strong 2018, where Vesta outperformed the market, both through total shareholder return performance as well as operating results, we continue to maintain our momentum and are progressing well toward a strong 2019 as we execute the final stage of our Vesta Vision 2020 strategic plan. The U.S. economy continues to support our growth. Mexico's non-oil exports to the U.S. increased nearly 5%. Total exports increased nearly 12% sequentially after slower growth in January, with manufacturing among the sectors that led non-oil exports. Broadly speaking, our clients continue expanding, and this was reflected in our business with them during the first quarter in terms of new leasing activity, renewals, as well as growth in long-term leases. Another important indicator is foreign direct investment in Mexico. New investment by U.S. businesses last year was close to the five-year average, as was total foreign direct investment, according to the most recent government statistics. These figures make clear that our country remains one of the world's leading production hubs for global companies. Although these economic and investment indicators are encouraging, we remain cautious, in part because Mexico's new administration has yet to finalize its economic policies. With regard to the global economy, a number of risks also remain, as the U.S. and China have still not reached a trade agreement, and the health of Europe's economy remains tenuous. As always, we closely monitor economic trends within and outside Mexico, and interest rates in particular. Also, we benefit from market intelligence that we glean through deep and extensive customer relationships, information that allows us to stay on top of changing conditions in each of our regional markets, which underpins Vesta's agility to adapt to a changing environment with anticipation. Although the economic and policy pictures remain unclear, Vesta will continue to find the opportunities to keep creating value for our shareholders. Even if the economies on which we rely were to moderate, our strategy and business model account for such a scenario and would still allow us to deliver solid operating performance and high levels of growth. A 16% increase in revenue, another increase in net effective rent, and a nearly 24% increase in FFO this reporting period demonstrate yet again our ability to consistently grow quarter-over-quarter and year-over-year. In the last 3 years, Vesta's rent per square foot has grown at a compounded annual rate of 4%. As a much larger company today, we are more resilient than ever to any market volatility. Another point I would like to emphasize here is that we have no major renewals due within the next 12 to 18 months, which reduces our exposure to vacant space while reinforcing our ability to maintain high occupancy rates in our portfolio. Further, we remain disciplined in our approach to leasing and the build-out of Vesta's property portfolio, and we'll continue to operate in the right markets in Mexico in terms of current and future growth potential. In fact, our markets continue to perform well. We successfully maintain a high occupancy level of 96.8% in our stabilized portfolio this quarter, while increasing total portfolio rent per square foot by a 4% CAGR in the last 3 years. Developers have remained disciplined in the markets, combined with solid demand and limited supply, is a dynamic we expect will continue for the foreseeable future. To date, we still have a good balance of logistics and light manufacturing customers. Also, renewal levels and a still strong pipeline indicate that clients remain committed to our industrial properties. In the North region, Ciudad Juárez and Tijuana are outperforming, with high levels of leasing activity, solid pricing conditions, and a strong pipeline, primarily due to an expansion of U.S. activity. We leased a property there that has yet not been completed and which continues to reflect the strength of our chosen markets for development, as well as our reputation and customers' relationships. In the Bajío region, the occupancy remains at healthy levels. While there was not any significant activity in this region during this particular quarter, our pipeline is still very strong, and we anticipate signing leases with existing and new potential clients in the upcoming quarters. We signed just over 257,000 sq ft of new leases with existing and new international clients, such as Harman, Freudenberg, and DB Schenker. We also signed 1.4 million sq ft of lease renewals, bringing stabilized occupancy to 96.8% at the end of the quarter, despite a 9% increase in this portfolio's GLA. To date, we have renewed 65% of leases that will expire this year and the next, with re-leasing spreads positive above 2% compared to in-place rent. Returning to capital allocation, Vesta's record financial results in 2018 enabled us to pay a dividend of 0.45 pesos per share in the first quarter of 2019. This dividend payment represents a 13.7% increase over last year's quarterly payment. Last but not least, as announced earlier this week, we enter into a definitive agreement with an institutional investor to sell a property portfolio of 1.6 million sq ft for a total of $109 million and with a blended cap rate of 7.1%. The portfolio is comprised of 8 industrial properties, 60% of which are located in Querétaro and 40% in Toluca. The proceeds of the transaction will allow us to continue strengthening Vesta's balance sheet while providing additional financial flexibility. More specifically, it helps us to continue diversifying the allocation of capital by continuing to invest in property development while maintaining a favorable stance towards share repurchases. The transaction marks the first time that Vesta has divested property. Importantly, it demonstrates our ability to successfully close a stabilized portfolio's real estate cycle through a sale, and to do so without adversely affecting the composition of our portfolio. At a price that is 20% above our net asset value, the sale also clearly demonstrates our ability to now secure financing via the private market to fund our growth initiatives in an accretive way. Before I turn the call over to Juan to talk more about Vesta's first quarter performance, I would like to remind you that on June 4th, we will host an investor day in New York City. During the event, we will discuss our strategy for Vesta's next phase of growth. We're excited about the opportunities we see next year and beyond, and are keen to share our plans with you. In addition to other senior executives of Vesta, certain board directors will also be present. We hope you can join us that day. If for some reason you have not received an invitation, please contact our investor relations department. Juan, now over to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Lorenzo, and good day, everyone. Starting with Vesta's income statement, revenues increased 16% year-over-year, as Lorenzo noted, to $36.3 million. Much of this increase was the rental of new space that has been previously unoccupied. Nearly 85% of the first quarter revenues continue to be denominated in U.S. dollars. On the expense side, operating costs increased to $1.6 million due to higher expenses at the new properties in our portfolio. Vesta's net operating income increased 15% to $35 million, while our operating margin decreased 68 basis points to  96.3% due to higher costs at the income-generating properties. Administrative expenses increased 11% at the quarter for $4 million, primarily due to higher auditing, legal, and consulting expenses, while property appraisal fees and increase in employee benefits. Moving further down the income statement, Vesta's EBITDA increased 16% to $31 million, while the corresponding margin was unchanged at 85.7%. This is a result of the increase in revenues, while the margin of administrative expenses remained constant. Due to Vesta's higher debt balance this quarter, net interest expense rose 25% to $9.2 million. Early, Lorenzo touched upon our balance sheet. It remains strong, with a loan-to-value of 35%, and with any reduction in interest rates, we might take opportunity to restructure Vesta's debt to lower interest expense and extend our maturity. Also, in the quarter, we recorded a foreign exchange gain of $1.2 million and a $12 million gain on the value of our investment properties, an increase of 65% compared to the gain we reported on the first quarter of 2018. Vesta's before-tax profit increased 12% to $34 million. Income taxes totaled $12 million compared to $5 million income tax gain last year's first quarter. There were higher current and deferred taxes in the first quarter of this year due to a higher operating tax and increase in foreign exchange tax that stemmed from the peso's appreciation during the period. Higher income taxes and interest expense, coupled with a lower foreign exchange gain, mostly accounted for a 42% year-over-year decline in our comprehensive income line. On a per-share basis, Vesta's funds from operations increased 23.7%. The operating FFO tax, which excludes current taxes, increased 13% to $22 million. The current tax of $11.2 million consisted of $6.4 million in operating tax and $4.7 million was the exchange-related portion. CapEx expense during the quarter was $20 million, primarily investments in construction of new buildings in Ciudad Juárez, Tijuana, and San Luis Potosí, a total of 950,000 sq ft of inventory and build-to-suit buildings are currently being developed. Vesta's average debt balance was $700 million, 99% of which are long-term liabilities. 100% of our debt is denominated in U.S. dollars and pays a fixed exchange rate, interest rate. As Lorenzo noted, the GLA of Vesta's stabilized portfolio increased 9%, while occupancy remained at 97%. Our same-store portfolio expanded 17% during the quarter, with occupancy increasing 50 basis points to 98%. At the end of the quarter, Vesta's total GLA was 30.4 million sq ft, while total vacancy stood at 9.2%. Land reserves totaled 37.8 million sq ft, a 1% sequential increase. This concludes our prepared remarks. Matt, could you please open the call for questions? Thank you.
Great. Thank you. At this time, we will be conducting a question-and-answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star two if you'd like to move your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. One moment, please, while we poll for questions. Our first question is from Mara Torreblanca from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Thanks for the call and congratulations on the quarter and on the asset sale. My question is related to the asset sale. If you could give us a bit more color on how the process was done. how many, you know, interested parties you saw. Did it, was it difficult to find a buyer that was willing to pay for this kind of cap rate, or do you think that, you know, there was enough demand at these levels of valuation? And also, if you could walk us through your cap rate calculation, because looking at the numbers that you published in the additional material after you announced the sale, it seems to be that the cap rate is a bit lower than that, but I'm not sure if you're assuming in this cap rate some, you know, growth. Is it a forward cap rate or anything I'm missing? Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Marimar, and thank you for being on the conference. Yes, as you know, we announced on Monday the transaction. Still, the transaction, as you know, is still pending from a couple of regulatory items, COFECE and other minor ones. We believe it will be finally closed in the next days. This is the first time we do a sale of a portfolio. Even that this was a smaller size transaction with only 8 properties in only 2 markets of Vesta. In this case, we did an internal process with potential institutional investors. We touched base with several investors that are looking into good quality buildings with good quality leases, long-term leases, and are able to identify institutional class real estate. And out of the ones that we touched, we identified a potential investor that was very interested in doing a transaction with us, and that's how we entered into a transaction. We have to highlight that there is still, and we were surprised of how much interest there still is in Mexico from private markets, on top of the publicly names that you, all of you already know. And I believe that this really is an opening stage in the company where we're going to be able to still find good ways to keep on financing growth, and probably now through the sale of stabilized portfolios. We think that cap rates globally have decreased as well as interest rates, but there is a high interest for industrial real estate globally, and we believe that Mexico is also being part of that. Even in a volatile environment, through the capital markets, with listed companies, as well as with other political situations, we believe that there is very strong demand towards high-quality industrial real estate, and that global trend is being impacting also Mexico. So I'm not surprised on the cap rate. I think that this is merely a consequence of being of good capital chasing for good properties. And on the second question, I think regarding the cap rate. Well, as you know, cap rate is only one indication. We use the way we calculate it is using a 12 month forward NOI. Divided by the value of the transaction, which I think is the way to go. Nevertheless, another way to see it would be from a net asset value perspective or a price per square foot. These particular buildings, the value of them, the net asset value of them, were close to $57 per square foot, and the transaction price was close to $69 per square foot. So that would be another way to see that we are selling at a premium to our net asset value, which in the end is what we believe is very accretive for shareholders. So we will still be looking for these type of transactions where we can recycle capital while finding accretiveness for our shareholders.
Thank you.
Our next question is from Eugenio Saldana from GBM. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Congrats on your results. I have 2 questions. The first one, I would like to hear from you, where is the limit in terms of vacancy to stop developing spec buildings in certain regions? I mean, when do you decide to stop, or what's your floor? That's the first one. The second one is, considering the 5% reduction in GLA due to the already mentioned transaction, are you considering updating your 2019 guidance, or does that the previous guidance some sort of consider this potential disposition at the moment? And the third one is regarding the transaction that you announced. Was there any broker involved in this transaction whatsoever? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Eugenio, for being in the conference, and thank you for your questions. I will answer the first and last question. The first question regarding the vacancy, I think that we pretty much, as you can see, our portfolio today is pretty much leased, all of the portfolio. The vacant space that we have is the buildings that we consider in a lease up stage, which are most of them are brand new buildings that we have developed recently in the last periods. So normally it's not a matter of how much vacancy we have. We identify how much the pipeline is, how much we have available, and if we think that in the next 6 months, which is the time that takes us to build, that we're going to be able to lease that particular space up, that's when we start the new building. So we're very cautious in each of the markets. And as you can see, today, we have some available space in some markets, and that's when we normally do not develop. We put a pause, but when we start leasing, we start again with construction of buildings. Remember that the development risk in industrial real estate is pretty low because we can manage the timing and we can manage the pace at which we want to keep on developing. So it's honestly it's an easy way to track depending on how we are in each of the markets. And probably just regarding the third question on the broker, there were no third parties involved. As you know, we have had a long-term relationship with the investment community, and we touch base with international institutional investors, global investors, and that's how we found the transaction.
On guidance, Eugenio, I think that the transaction will close in the next 10 days or so. After that, and probably on the Vesta day, it will be a good way to give some additional oomph to the Vesta day. If necessary, we'll revise guidance. We typically, if necessary, revise by guidance, as we have done in the past, but it would be good to talk about that on Vesta day, if necessary.
Okay, great. Thanks, guys. Congrats again.
Thank you.
Our next question is from Froylan Mendez from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hello, guys. Thank you very much for taking my question. First, how should we see reflected the income from the administration contract from the portfolio that you sold? Specifically, how much NOI should we expect from this administration contract? And then, what should we expect on the tax side going forward, especially after this asset sale? Thank you very much.
Froylan, good morning. Thank you for being on the call. Look, the admin income would be reflected on as other income. It would be around $200,000 upwards. It's contingent on the rollovers of the portfolio. As you know, we have a very high rollover rate, so it's upwards of $200,000. The other question would be that you asked is about taxes. The tax impact of this portfolio is around $6 million. It's a very efficient, 6%. We have a very efficient tax base for the sales of the portfolio, and therefore it was a very good sale from a tax point of view. I don't know if I answer both of the questions you posed.
Yes, but going forward and including the impact from the asset sales, should we think about the cash taxes going forward, because they have been increasing in time. Just wanted to understand what the run rate of cash taxes should be for Vesta going forward.
Look, on taxes going forward, we're highly contingent on FX development. So it's particularly difficult to forecast taxes because of the FX component of our income statement, due to the fact that taxable income depends on the peso value of our dollar debt. On an operating level, we do have a substantial tax shelter due to depreciation of our properties on a tax level. So I think that between 15 and 20% of effective tax rate, I think it's a good way to look at Vesta, no, in the future. But again, FX volatility will have a high impact, no?
Perfect. Thank you so much, and congrats.
Thank you.
Gracias.
Our next question is from Luis Garcia from Bradesco. Please go ahead.
So good morning, guys. I have two questions. The first one is on the Bajío region. We have been seeing the region suffering a lot, a huge drop in terms of year-over-year vacancy in the region. And when talking to the brokers, they are also concerned and then mentioning some institutional investors developing the region. So the question is, what do you expect for the region going forward? And if we could see additional occupancy drops in the region in terms of occupancy. And the second question is on grace periods. I mean, especially given the what is happening in the Bahia region, are you seeing clients asking for more grace periods in contracts being renewed? So what are you seeing in terms of grace periods, especially these states or the assets located in the Bahia region?
Perfecto, Luis. Thank you very much for your questions and for participating. We think that the Bahia region has been incredibly active the last 5 years. And that has led to having today a way more robust industrial base, which we believe that will benefit in the long run for the region, which is considered as today one of the most competitive regions in Mexico, and as being one of the most competitive regions in Mexico is one of the most competitive regions even globally. So these are global clusters and global manufacturing and logistic hubs. We have seen, and this question regarding the Bajío has been particularly in the last couple of years, and it's amazing how much activity we have had in the last couple of years. Nevertheless, I think that we have to be cautious on how much development is being done in the area. We still see that developers have been disciplined in developing inventory building. Actually, the vacancy rates are still low in the area, 6% pretty much in Guanajuato, Querétaro, which are the largest ones, as well as San Luis Potosí. So it's a very healthy number. Fourth quarter was a very strong in terms of absorption in Querétaro particularly. So I wouldn't only look at only a few quarters. I would analyze the whole cycle, probably longer, probably in a year round. So I think that that Bajío has its own dynamic. I think the Bajío is maintained very good rates for rental rates. And what surprised me a lot is how much the land values in the Bajío have increased. If you consider Querétaro, for example, Querétaro's land prices in the last 5 years has almost threefolded. I have never seen this in any other market in Mexico. And I think that is also a signal of how much appetite in the long term there is still for this area, where there is still a good demand for industrial space, and not only industrial space, but well land well located with the right infrastructure, with the right quality, because these are high quality tenants or high quality clients that are demanding good quality space too. And
okay,
probably, in the end, I think that looking forward, we're still optimistic on the region while being, as always, very disciplined and cautious on the development.
Okay, and how about grace period?
Okay. We're not giving any rental concessions on either on rollovers or in new leases. I mean, the markets are tight, so
yeah.
We've been very disciplined on it's at the market rate. When you enter the building, you begin paying.
And remember, probably one of the things I'd like to highlight here is that remember that Vesta is very disciplined in really having a high credit worthy tenants. And sometimes we prefer to even wait a little longer to have the right tenant and have the right long-term lease with high credit worthy tenants instead of just leasing out space. Remember that we like long U.S. dollar denominated leases. And in these markets, sometimes you have to be a little patient and cautious in order to find the right quality build, the right quality tenants. And in the end, I think that discipline has paid off very well in investor strategy.
Okay, thanks.
Our next question is from Cecilia Jimenez from Santander. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thanks. Congrats on the results, and thanks for taking my question. My question is actually on the asset sale announced earlier this week. Just on a confirmation side, although it's possible to see this type of transaction going forward, the main core or the main strategy of Vesta remains being a growing through development. Just wanted to hear your thoughts on that and just confirm the growing for the future is still there beyond the 2020 plan. I know you have the investor day, but if you can give us a hint of what after 2020, that'd be great. Thank you very much. On the growth side, thank you.
Gracias, Cecilia, and thank you very much for your question, and being on the call. So I think that definitely, I think that this is a strong signal that Vesta has the ability to close the real estate cycle where we can still develop, lease at attractive returns, stabilize portfolios, and sell at attractive price. And with that, we think we can create a lot of value for our shareholders. Looking forward, we will continue to focus on our capital allocation. To optimize capital allocation and in order to have the most out of our capital allocation, we still have we still want to keep on developing at attractive returns. And when I say attractive returns, this is yields above 11%, which we have been doing in the last years. Also finding acquisitions in an opportunistic way whenever we believe there's value to be created. We're going to keep on doing acquisitions, and if acquisitions are at too high prices, we're going to pass on them, as we have done in the past. We have passed on many operations, many acquisitions, which honestly we're glad that we did not do. And thirdly, I think that our buyback program has been also pretty successful, and we will continue to do so. So looking forward, we believe that the name of the game will still be capital allocation through development, through acquisitions, and through buyback in repurchase shares in a buyback program. So hopefully we can keep on creating value for our shareholders the same way looking forward.
Thanks, Loren.
Gracias.
Our next question is from Gordon Lee from BTG Pactual. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Thanks very much for the call. Two quick questions. The first, I have a question on the Juarez market. You know, it's if you look at your numbers and you look at many of your peers' numbers, it almost looks like it's sold out, like Juarez is sold out. So it looks like, and obviously given the advantages it has versus other markets, it seems like it would be a good place to put capital to work. But Juarez has a tendency, I guess, because of the availability of land, to become oversupplied pretty quickly. So I was wondering what your view is on Juarez, what you're thinking about in terms of what you're seeing on the supply side, and whether you think that that you have that risk of oversupply at some point in Juarez again. And then the second question is related to the questions that you've had on the asset divestment and the reallocation of that capital. At this point, when you look at opportunities in the market, either for development, acquisition, or stock buybacks, how do those stack up? How attractive does your stock look right now relative to what you could get on the M&A market, let's say? Thank you.
Great, thank you. Thank you very much, Gordon, for your question. This is Lorenzo. Definitely, I think that I'm very happy that we are currently discussing about Juarez on the positive side, because Juarez currently is experiencing a lot of demand. Currently, vacancy rates are close to 3% or 4%, which is very, very healthy. After Juarez having had a very tough period, particularly after the U.S. recession, it was tough times for many of their businesses, and today it's experiencing exactly the opposite. We believe that first of all, we like to understand markets very well. We have had a very good presence in Juarez in the last years, and that's why we have been able to gain an important, very important part of the market share in the market in that area. Nevertheless, looking forward, we think that we're going to keep on developing, particularly because most of the growth from Vesta, over 50%, comes from existing clients. So the good thing about developing this type of properties, which are multi-tenant buildings are very flexible, is that we can accommodate our tenants according, in many cases, to their growth. So it's pretty, whenever we develop, it's because we already feel that we could have a potential pipeline that can support and then can underwrite the decision of growing in these particular markets. Nevertheless, I take your comment very well on how cautious and disciplined we have to keep on through development, because there could be other peers that also are developing. So it's a matter of seeing how we can differentiate from our peers. In markets like Juarez, I think that it is important to see what the quality of the buildings are, which locations where you are developing, the type of amenities or let's say additional infrastructure that you can offer. In our case, we are trying to develop Vesta parks, which you know that have a different type of quality and different type of things that offer compared to single assets. So in that regard, I think we can differentiate well in Juarez, which is the thing that we have done also in other markets, where we think that some of high quality tenants are really looking for this type of buildings and assets.
On the capital allocation, Gordon, seems to me that if we're selling at a 7.1% cap rate and the slight cap rate on our stock is above 9, what we're going to do is we're going to be very aggressive on the sales repurchase, no? Seems to me that that's the correct approach. We will continue to develop buildings, of course, and we will always be very cautious about acquisitions. Yeah, and remember, the objective of our capital allocation has always been increases in net asset value, and I believe that Vesta has been a stellar performance in our track record of increasing net asset value since we came into the public market.
Perfect. Thank you. That's all very clear. Thanks very much.
Our next question is from Vanessa Quiroga from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Congrats on the results. And just to continue on the review of the different markets, I would like to ask you also about Toluca, how you're seeing that market right now and going forward. And in general, I think it would be interesting to hear from you if year-to-date you have seen any change in the way your tenants and potential prospects make a decision regarding choosing properties and signing contracts, how you are seeing the request for proposals, and how much time is it taking for tenants and prospects to sign a contract? Thank you.
Thank you, Vanessa. This is Lorenzo. Thank you for being on the call. Yes, Toluca has been one of our leading markets. We have a large part of our portfolio in this region. We know it very well. And I think that this particular market currently has experienced some good opportunities for growth. Nevertheless, I think that today the restrictions that it has is that land availability is scarce. It is currently lacking. The land that you would think that could be available has its difficulties, since many of it is owned by ejidos, or some of it is private land but does not have the right infrastructure or the right zoning. Nevertheless, that has been a challenge for Vesta today, that to find the right land and also at the right price, because in order to create value, we got to buy land at the right price. Otherwise, we will be only developing at a margin, which we believe is not exactly what the way to create value. So currently, I think that we have a fully leased portfolio. Clients are doing well. We have recently been able to renew at attractive rents. We have been seeing that the rents have been increasing in the market. And remember that we, in Toluca, one of the things that we have seen is that there's many developers who are asking peso rents, and we are very disciplined on holding to the dollar rent. So today, I think there's a large spread between what we are renting and what some of our peers are renting in pesos, because many of them did rent 5 years ago when the peso was at 13. So there is still a big difference, a big gap between some of the existing in-place rents from some of our peers and what we have today. So hopefully other developers can also try to be more disciplined in trying to get rents closer to the market, and which we believe that is the one that Vesta would have in its portfolio.
Great, Loren. And regarding the request for proposals and time to make to sign contracts in general for your portfolio.
Okay, so yeah, probably in general would be better to anticipate. We are very active in terms of requests for proposals and possible signing of leases. In terms of timing, I think that companies today are not necessarily taking that much longer. I think they have taken out the uncertainty risk regarding the USMCA or the previous NAFTA. They are taking out risks regarding a political situation in Mexico. So I think that in that regard, they feel more comfortable in making long-term commitments. And that's why we have seen transactions like the ones that we closed this quarter with a German company, being Freudenberg, with an American, actually a Korean-American company, being Harman, which is a subsidiary of Samsung, making long-term commitments also in Querétaro, or DB Schenker, a logistic company which has operations for Microsoft and Cisco systems in Juarez. They are still growing, and they are making long-term commitments, and I think that's a signal that despite the uncertainties that there still are, they are committed long-term in Mexico, and we think that this is a little bit the most of the feeling in global companies towards the country. So hopefully this mood remains, and that more companies keep expanding in the country.
Excellent. Thank you, Vesta team.
Gracias.
Our next question is from Alan Macias from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for the call. Just one question regarding potential Chinese tenants if you have seen a pickup in that area. Are you still seeing interest by Chinese companies coming into Mexico? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Definitely. I think that's an important trend that we are seeing recently. There are some Chinese companies entering the market, actually in pretty much all regions, from Puebla to State of Mexico to the Bajío, as well as the north of Mexico. Nevertheless, I think that it's not only Chinese companies, but it's companies in China, that these could be global companies, that are already looking back into Mexico as being an important manufacturing hub. So remember that many of the companies in China are European or American that have established themselves 10, 15 years ago. And currently, because of other global situations, they are thinking of expanding their operations outside of China too. And this could be Southeast Asia, for example, Vietnam, or this could be places like North America, and clearly North America, the place that could make the most sense is Mexico. So we'll keep an eye on Chinese companies, because we believe that there will be an important, a relevant player in the Mexican market. Probably as an additional note, we have actually some Chinese tenants, but it's interesting how they acquire European companies that have been in sector industries for a while, and through these European companies they establish themselves in Mexico. So at the beginning you would think that these are German companies, for example, but in the end it's Chinese capital, because they have been able to do M&A of great engineering companies, and they are growing with their footprint. No, so this is another trend that I think will be similar looking forward.
Thank you. And just one more question. Have your tenants experienced any problems with labor unions that we saw in the market in the past in Mexico? Any issues there? Thank you.
Thank you. Definitely, that was an issue that we were monitoring very close since the beginning. Particularly, this was in the beginning of the year, January. As of today, we have no clients today that are facing any issues. At some point, we heard from our tenant, from some of our tenants and other industries and other companies that were having issues on this regard. Nevertheless, I think they got into agreements with their unions, and I think that let's say on the positive side, I think that sends another signal that companies are actually more willing to be open to negotiate rather than just saying I would leave the country. No, I think that they want to commit long term. They want to work better with the labor, with their labor unions, and I think by being able to negotiate, I think that that sends a signal that they want to commit for a long run in Mexico.
Thank you. Great.
Thank you.
Our next question is from Ramon Odessa from Scotiabank. Please go ahead.
Hi. Hello, guys. Good morning, and thank you so much for taking my question. It got my attention that your development pipeline in the Bajío region is just 33% versus 60% in Q4, and the rest is in northern Mexico. Perhaps this is the result of a cooling off in the Bajío region, or you just being more cautious? And should we expect this trend going forward?
Thank you. Thank you very much for your question. So I think that the picture that we see on the development pipeline every quarter, I think it's a very, I would say, static picture of only one particular moment. Remember that the real estate cycles are longer. If you consider when to buy land, when to put the infrastructure in place, when to start the building, when you lease it up, it's a long term. It takes a while. So I think that today what you see on the picture is not necessarily a reflection on how it will be looking forward. I think that actually looking back, this has always been changing and shifting. There's sometimes where you see more construction in one region and less construction in other regions. So I don't think that this is something that we would have to consider as being holding the same looking forward. I think this follows more the dynamic on the midterm on each of the regions. In the end, out of the three regions, we feel comfortable with all three. The north of Mexico is being very active, so we will keep on developing in the north as we started a building in Tijuana recently, because we are almost fully leased in Tijuana. And I'm pretty sure that we will start more buildings in Juarez soon that are not reflected in today's pipeline. And the same with the Bajío. Probably we are in the lease-up stage of some of the buildings. As long as we lease them up, we will start construction of more. And the central region, actually, I think that it's a similar situation. Probably the main challenge we're having in the central region is to buy land at attractive prices. So as long as we can be able to find land, we're going to be able to develop more. But in the end, I think we'll pretty much keep on with the same balance that we have been having in the past.
Thank you so much, and congratulations on your results.
Thank you.
As a final reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, it is star one. If there are no further questions, I'd like to turn the floor back to Mr. Berhoff for any closing comments.
For all of you for being in the conference, I would like just to, as I noted at the beginning of my remarks, we are executing our final stage of the Vesta Vision 2020 plan in a strong way, and we are excited to share the next phase of growth of the company in our Investor Day. With that in mind, we hope to see you all at the June 4th Investor Day in New York. Thank you again for everybody for joining today's call and for your ongoing support. Have a great day.
This concludes today's teleconference. You may disconnect your lines at this time. Thank you again for your participation.
Thank you.